This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Policeman Nation, welcome to episode 16 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. I am Professor JT, and Jeff Machado, it's been a while since we've chatted here on air.
It's been a long time. I can't actually remember the last time that we did a show, but for all of you out there wondering if I'm still learning wrestling, I am, in fact, still learning wrestling, and I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited to get back into it.
So when I was like preparing for this, I could not believe that our last episode was when we went to Brooklyn in August.
Was that August?
Yeah, that was August. And our last one before that was in May.
So we're on a pace to do like three shows a year. Basically.
Well, I think we did a couple earlier in the year, so maybe a little bit more than that. But somehow we've done 15 of these things. It doesn't seem like, at the same time, it doesn't seem like that many, but it also doesn't seem like it's been as big a gap. So,
yeah, I just want to get to Stone Cold before my 50th birthday.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. So we're going to get into the show proper in a minute, but we thought we'd catch up a little bit personal because I think everyone digs that. And then I want to get into kind of where we landed on what we're going to talk about tonight and about all the feedback we got when we put a poll or kind of a questionnaire up a couple weeks ago. So since it's been since August that we last talked, how are you feeling since your car accident?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm at an all-time high weight right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay because I'm going back to work Saturday.
Wow.
Almost one full year anniversary. The accident was on the 4th, and I'm going back on the 1st.
Okay.
Which is good timing because after a year, you can't keep your job. So this is like the basically latest I can go back to work without losing my route.
So do you feel like you're ready, though?
No.
Okay. Are you just going back to keep your job?
No. The last thing that happened was my knee surgery, and then once the knee surgery came, they wrote me out for the recovery for that, and basically I have no reason to stay out any longer.
Okay.
I can't just say, I'm too fat to go back to work.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of fat mailmen, like Newman.
Yeah, but Newman has, like, he doesn't do as much walking as I do. It's going to be really, really, I've been stockpiling on ibuprofen.
Yeah.
They keep calling me for refills on my 800s. So I basically have four giant things of ibuprofen 800s.
Now, where is it? Is this CVS?
Walgreens.
Walgreens. So this doesn't seem like a very tight ship that they're running if they just keep offering you pills.
I don't understand how it works because they also gave me Percocets. And here's how they gave me two scripts. They said, here's your first script. It's 10 pills. So then you take those and then you bring in your second for the refill and it's 50 pills. So I'm like, all right. So why can't I just get the 50 pills right away?
Right.
I have to basically demonstrate the ability to take.
We need to know that you're going to eat these 10.
Can you take opiates and not die? And then we'll give you more.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's the thing, right? But, I mean, you could just flush them down the toilet.
Yeah, but I never even took the 10. I just got my refill, so now I have 60 Percocets.
Okay. And you haven't taken any?
Saving them for a rainy day, no.
Yeah. I would have thought after the surgery would be.
Well, you know, I have a high tolerance for pain, and I was just drinking a lot and taking a lot of Advil.
Okay.
It worked fine.
All right, so you're going back to work, so that's something. You missed our annual football game this past weekend.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. How was it?
It was good, but it was muddy. It was the worst conditions we've played. But we
at Carson Field?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we lucked out because it stopped raining at like 6:30 in the morning. So we didn't play in the rain, but the track with the field was very...
The track.
It was very...
it was a rough pitch out there.
It was like if we would have played in Mexico City for that game. But so we actually ended up playing, like, you know how we normally play across? That part was so bad. We turned and played against the fence on the left side.
So the opposite, because we used to play long ways with the giant
rock. On the right side, and now we played on the left side.
So you went, that's different.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad area, so it was a fun game.
First of all, first question, what day did you play? Because we always used to play
Sunday.
On Friday.
You kept the tradition.
Sunday?
Wow. Well, we always play Sunday.
No, we always played on Friday. We had to move it because of my job.
Yeah, but we kept the tradition. We kept the Sunday tradition.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad.
How many guys did you get?
Seven. Six on six. We had 7-on-7, and 2 had a dropout. So we ended 6-on-6.
There's always a couple dropouts.
Yeah. But it was a good game. We had 2 on the line. We went 3 wide outs because of the field conditions.
Wait, so it's always been Jeff versus Justin.
Yeah.
So how did you guys pick teams this time?
So we had originally drawn them up based on matchup. And then with the 2 guys that dropped, we had a reshuffle. So just kind of on the spot, we just kind of matched guys up.
So you just picked teams based on...
Yeah. Actually, like how we should pick teams instead of out of spite. Like,
kind of take some of the competitive edge out of it.
It was still pretty competitive because I was against Scott, so that gave me the competition. Oh, wow. Right there. So
who was your quarterback?
Lansy.
Oh, Lansy. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. But the mud changed everything because you couldn't... It wasn't like a speed game. It was a lot of short passes.
Well, I mean, once we went to flags, it pretty much was not a speed game anymore.
Sure.
It's basically who had the better quarterback wins.
Yeah, Scott did play well. I'll give him that. He played well at quarterback. But again, I think the game suited him because he didn't need like a big arm in that game at all because it was just a lot of dink and dunk.
Was it all your guys or any old West Warwick or Hendricken dudes there?
I mean, it depends what you consider Andy. Is that old Hendricken dude?
I think Andy's more my guy at this point than your guy.
You think
I think
so?
I've taken Andy over to the dark side.
I think
side.
It's maybe a 50-50.
We'll see. Well, we should have Andy on and we can like... You know, when
he'll just
they,
laugh. He
when
won't
they have
pick.
A dog and they say, pick one.
Yeah, but he won't pick. He'll just laugh.
We'll make him pick.
All right. Anyway, so I think he was it. And then everyone else was kind of on the newer end.
Well, I mean,
and Ryan. Do you count Ryan as old?
And you guys won?
Yeah, 15-10.
I still wish you had lost. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's not nice.
It has nothing to do with me, but.
That's kind of rough. It was a tough matchup, but it was close at the half. It was 8-7 at the half. And then we had a dominant second half, and that was it.
Yeah, usually you get out to like a 10-1 lead.
Yeah, and then so you're just crawling back. Well, we were up 3-0, and they stormed back and went up 4-3. And then...
Did you invite Anthony?
I don't have his information.
He's not on the Facebook arsonist page?
No. I don't think he would have came. He didn't show up last year with you. You think he's going to come for me?
It's all about if he's free. He enjoys to, you know, show off his athletic talents.
All right. Well, if you come play basketball again next year, we can get him back out there and then get him back in the fold.
When I play basketball next year.
When. You're right. Positivity. All right. So speaking of positivity, you had quite the weekend away a couple weeks ago. As many here know, you've had rocky times in your love life over the past year. I'm going to pause because I don't want to say things that you might not want to get into, but... I really just had the perfect segue with the positive.
Speaking of being positive, yeah, so it's weird because last week was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I just kept asking people, what happened last Thanksgiving? What happened last Thanksgiving? And I just keep forgetting that I was in a relationship last Thanksgiving.
That's right.
My entire holiday was based around my fiance.
Well, you called Rob Levine as well last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, we also haven't talked about dad.
Yeah, you missed that too. It was a tough Thanksgiving weekend without you.
Well, I'm sorry. It was my first dat
off.
It's
fine. I get it.
In like 20
years. I'm not mad. You're good. You have a stellar attendance rate. You are fine. You're not like Jen, who hasn't come to like 7 straight parties. She's
done. Jen still exists?
She's got engaged.
Unless she moved to Belgium or something.
She just got engaged, finally.
Shout out to Jen.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So
I was like, oh, that's why I don't remember Thanksgiving. I don't remember what I did on Christmas last year because it was all based around my ex. So, it was like a nice, normal Thanksgiving with just my parents and my sister. But I remember we went to the Celtics game a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
So people are like, Jeff, what are you doing? Why are you still hanging out with your ex? And the answer is simple. I'm a great ex.
Mm.
You know, girls break up with me for whatever reason. You could probably think of a bunch.
I have one or two.
One reason or another. But then they all still, they have like this week or month period where they're really mad at me. But then... I always get them back. Not getting back as in dating them, but getting back as in they still want to talk to me because I'm just really good. Like, I don't get jealous about them talking to other dudes. Or
no,
whatever.
And you are. So to really set the stage, you dated Crystal for a while, and then you guys lived together with her current boyfriend.
Yeah.
Not current now, but at the time current, Jim. So you, your ex-girlfriend, and her boyfriend lived in a house.
Yes. I dated Crystal. We broke up. Yeah. Then I moved in with her.
Yeah.
After the breakup. Then we got a house with her new boyfriend, who then she dumped for her a different boyfriend, and I became best friends with both of them.
Yeah, see?
So you're, not only am I a good, I'm a great ex. I'm good with people's new boyfriends.
I miss that house.
It was a good house.
It was a good party house.
Very good party house. Good yard. Raised ranch.
Yeah.
Room to roam.
It's a lot of room to roam.
Nice island in the middle there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, my ex doesn't want to get back together with me. But we still talk, and I visit her a couple times, and people are like, oh, why are you going to drive 7 hours to Western New York to hang out with somebody who broke up with you? I'm like, what else am I going to do?
No, it's true.
I'm out of work. I have her dogs. I'm watching her dogs, who are, I love. We'll get into the dogs later, maybe. But, yeah, so sometimes it's funny. It's been 4 years that we've been, you know, hooking up. And the same problems always arise. The same kind of conversations happen. You know, she's not on birth control. I bring condoms. And then the whole, just a minute. Just a minute. That conversation comes up. And we always regret it. Because we're always pretty drunk. It's always pretty late at night. You know. We had gone. If you are a condom user, you know that you can't do the same things with a condom that you can do with no condom.
You want to give an example?
Well, dominance is tricky.
Yeah.
If you're going to take the time to use like ropes or handcuffs and stuff, you really kind of be, you got to be worried about the condom. You can't just be free to just like, you know, use your equipment.
Okay.
Second of all, multiple times is tough with the condom because you got to use the condom, take it off, wash off, get all that gunk off.
Right.
That condom nonsense. Condoms are just the least sexy thing ever. They smell like a hospital.
Yeah. They're very sterile.
Very sterile, like, it's not sexy.
No.
So, yeah, we had that conversation, the just-a-minute conversation, and all of a sudden, when I came back and we had gone to the Celtics game, he said, how was your weekend? And I said, it was a Plan B kind of weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And for all you guys out there who know what that means, kudos to you.
Yeah. You popped the car with the comment.
Yes. It was a Plan B kind of weekend, and that is a very good weekend.
Yeah.
The only thing better than a Plan B kind of weekend is a weekend where you hang out with a girl who has a lot of sex with you on birth control.
Correct, yes, where you don't need to go spend the money. Now, how much is this Plan B?
Well, it's Plan B itself is $50, but there is a generic brand that's $35.
Okay. Right.
It's the same exact thing.
Yep.
And no, Andy, it is not – this is going to hurt my status with Andy picking me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, oh, what are you going to say about your Catholic background, blah, blah, blah. It's not the abortion pill. It says it right on the box.
Okay.
It takes 3 days for an egg to be inseminated. Okay? It's basically just taking a month of birth control in, like, one day. So, yeah, it's totally not amoral. Immoral?
All right, it's fine. You don't have to. No one's here. No one's putting you up on.
I saw a little bit of judgment in your eyes.
Me? I was all for it.
I mean,
I encourage you to go have sex, and I encourage you to do what you have to do.
Have you ever taken the Plan B?
No, I've never really had to be involved in that kind of situation. I'm not an amoral asshole.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I could. I fully supported your actions.
The sad thing
and I
about,
stand by you.
The sad thing about me and the Plan B is that I've probably had to buy it about 8 times, roughly.
Have you considered a vasectomy?
Yes, but I'm worried that it will kill my libido. They say it doesn't, but
it
I
doesn't.
Don't want to. I don't trust some guy like or girl.
You don't trust me?
You don't trust... Oh, you had a vasectomy.
That's
no, I don't
saying.
Mean... I mean the doctor. I mean, you obviously trust your doctor. They did a good job.
So you don't trust the doctor?
Also, I'm not entirely... Like, you've had your kids. You're
right.
Cool with...
Yeah, right.
Maybe I want kids.
All right. This is what I'm asking.
I'm a dog dad now. I love my dogs.
Yeah.
And my nephew, like,
I held
the baby.
Your girlfriend is young, so it's not like, you know...
She's youngish. She was young.
Well, I'm saying she's young enough that, you know, it's not like a major concern to get pregnant at this age.
I was actually kind of rooting for her to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Not because it would make her take me back. I just think it would be fun.
So you should buy, like, a fake Plan B.
Yeah.
Next time. Just give her, like, Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, man. Is that, like, a felony?
No.
What are there any laws or precedents in this if you give a girl a fake birth control so that she gets pregnant? Is it just like no?
Well, no. So
she
maybe
shouldn't have had premarital sex.
Maybe if you took away her, like I suspect this is what happened to Andy. But if you take away the birth control and then like trick her, but if it's after the fact,
it's a gray area.
Yeah,
definitely a gray area.
I know what God wants.
But the point is, I'm 100% positive that of all those Plan Bs I bought, we didn't need any of them.
Oh, okay.
Because I have done the research. I know about the menstrual cycle. I know more about women's menstrual cycles than most women.
Yeah.
And I have this thing called the danger zone. Never put it in, never even just a minute on the danger zone. That's the key.
Right. It's interesting because, like, there's so many, like, accidental pregnancies out there, right?
Yes, exactly. And you bring me to my next. After if this whole wrestling thing, this wrestling personality thing doesn't work out for me,
yeah.
My calling in life, I want to go to high schools or middle schools. I don't know what kids are, whatever. I want to teach guys how to not knock up girls.
But even
I don't think they know.
No, they don't know.
They don't know how it works.
They don't know. And the funny thing is, you literally have like a 3-day window.
It's 2 days.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you
know,
if it's late night
it.
On day one or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're all right, fine. All right, 3 days. You expand it, you know. So all you have to do is not, you know, finish.
It amazes me.
In a 7-day period, and you're fine.
But even the dumb luck, because, I mean, you're an odds guy. You're a betting guy. That's what?
Well, I mean, if you think about a 15-year-old kid with a girlfriend, they're probably having sex 3 times a day every single day.
I know. But if
so the odds kind of go out the window.
Yeah. But as you get older, there's still accidents.
But you got to practice some self-control.
As well.
I mean, pulling out isn't terrible.
There's
things that you can do to make it like a nice
right.
event.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Nice. but you... you threw me off with the nice comment. But the...
Are the people who listen to this podcast going to appreciate all this stuff?
Are
we going into too much of like a X-rated type of...
No.
I mean, this is real life stuff.
This is educational.
I mean, if you're watching wrestling...
Yeah. You probably haven't had sex.
That's not what I was going to say, but if you're watching wrestling, you're devoting a certain amount of your thoughts
right.
to wrestling, but you're also equally
right.
thinking about sex.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, so anyway, it amazes me that...
That's why they have all these hot lady wrestlers.
Sure.
There.
Yeah, and it does amaze me that the luck for a lot of it, and some of it too is obviously during those few days is like when the girl is at her peak. And wants it the most. So, I mean, obviously that probably tends to lead to those situations as well. But we're not here to pontificate there.
That
I am
true.
Glad that things worked out for you.
Yeah, she's not pregnant.
Right.
Hashtag not pregnant.
Yeah, we were happy to get that message the other night.
Well, I feel like I had to finish the story. I told you guys so
yeah,
much
about
the
You're finishing up. Too much. That's the problem. That's what's leading to these issues.
You got me.
And I don't know why Andy has to pick. Why can't we just be like a happy threesome?
Because
we all give each other different things.
I tease my parents about this. You know, I'm one of four, and I've been teasing my parents for years about who their favorite is. And
right.
For both my parents, I have myself listed fourth.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they don't love me.
See,
they just love the other three a little bit more.
I think with Andy, it would be like a prodigal son thing, where like I may feel like he loves you a certain way because you're such a fuck up, and like, but me, like I'm just the steady presence that just always gets the job done.
That's. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Is that
we're not his best friends, but if something came up, if there was an apocalypse and he could only live, he had to take one of us to
I think
live
he
the
picks,
rest of his life with.
I think he picks me because you're more likely to die soon.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But this will be, we should write up a list of questions.
It would be like when Kramer was going on the life support and he was trying to, or when he was doing his will, it was like, you know, your mind doesn't work, but you can eat soup through a spoon, you know, through a straw.
Exactly.
Well, I can still go to the coffee shop. All right, so anyway.
Also, Andy knows I would put him first. You have this whole family situation.
Well, say I didn't have a family.
Well, that's a different one. That's a different
He's got a family now, too. He's got a kid.
All right, so if you take away your family and Andy's family. Yes.
Andy's not recording podcasts with you.
He has.
Well, who was behind the whole thing? Was it just you guys coming up with the idea of a podcast and doing it?
That whole podcast was me and Andy, and Josh Richard just quit on it. He came up with this whole storyline, and then he was like...
But Josh came up with it, not you and Andy.
He came up with it, but we committed to it.
All right. We're going way down a path we don't need to go. So, anyway, I'm glad you're okay. We're going to talk some wrestling in a moment, but I did want to bring up a memory of ours. So, earlier tonight, I didn't realize the new setup on 295 coming home. You know, I used to take that Route 6, and you could get off and right back on? Like, you know, it's like you get off to get on Route 6, but you actually...
It's like a bypass.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that was closed for work, and I didn't realize that. So I got off, and I had to get off, like, 6 East and go by the Autumn Wall. So anyway, I ended up...
Oh, you had to drive through Johnston.
It's awful. So I ended up on Atwood Ave.
The worst.
And went by that karaoke dive bar that we were at. I think the Facebook memory just came up. Like, I think it was, like, 8 years ago. And we went bowling.
What was the name of that bar? Because...
I don't remember.
The bowling alley, but I don't remember the bar's name.
I don't know if it's even there anymore. I went by where it was.
Oh, you just drove by the plaza.
Correct. So I went by the bowling. I saw the bowling alley, and it brought back the memory of we went bowling, and then we went to this bar, and they had karaoke. And everyone may not know, but you're a karaoke aficionado.
3-time champion.
You're excellent at it. I am not, but I try and hang a little bit just to be your wingman.
You have the spirit.
I try.
You have the performance, the presence.
So on your, which I believe came first, on your 30th birthday, we went to Gay Bar Karaoke. And we did Empire State of Mind. And I got the hook one verse into the female part.
Gay karaoke is tough because on the
it's
one
a
hand,
tough crowd.
They want you to sing a song that they like as gay men, which is not stereotypical. It's actually true. There's
right.
certain songs that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So we sang, you know, Jay-Z and Rihanna.
Right.
No, Alicia Keys.
Alicia, yeah, and I got to Alicia. I had the Alicia part.
And it's tough because I do that song with my ex's sister, who is great at singing Alicia Keys, mm-hmm. but you belted it out. And I think the problem is the crowd had already seen us do it. So that's why they were like hard on you. But I think it was good.
Well, I only got through once, and then I got the hook. I think Crystal stepped in and finished.
You can't let them intimidate you. That's the key to karaoke.
No, I think our own people pulled me out.
No.
Yeah, I think they hooked me. So anyway... Fast forward about a year, we go to this other dive bar, and we're like, we're going to sing Stan. We had talked about this for a while, just to see the reaction of a bar to sing one of the most depressing songs ever in karaoke.
Right now, when you go to karaoke, there's no books.
Correct.
They basically can just access any song, and every song has a karaoke version. You just tell the DJ what song you want to sing. But back in the day,
yes,
during this time that you're talking about, there was a book. And Eminem, like one of the most popular artists of the past 30 years... He would always have like 10 songs, and mm-hmm. Stan was one of them. And I was always fascinated because who would sing Stan at karaoke?
Right.
And I knew all the words to Stan. So I'm like, we have to do it. We have to sing Stan.
And we did.
And we did.
And then we got booed.
It was terrible.
It was the crowd turned on us. And it was like a dive bar, kind of hard, rocky. You know, it wasn't
like townies. There were like guys with trucker hats.
They were not happy that we were singing. I mean, me singing Dido was not.
It wasn't even you as Dido. It was the fact that it was an edited version. Stan is like a 6-minute song,
right?
With four very like well constructed mm-hmm. verses, and it was just they were just skipping lines. I was right. totally lost.
It was all over the place.
And all of a sudden, you were just singing, and I would still be singing. It was a mess.
So
killed the bar.
So the karaoke people were not happy with us, and the bar was pissed. And we're just like, all right. So we wanted to redeem ourselves. So we decide that we're going to then sing Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, which was hot at the time.
Very hot at the time.
And the person running the karaoke did not trust us.
They're like, oh, you guys did Stan, now you want to do Lady Gaga?
And you already fucked up. And we begged and begged, and he let us go on last.
And which is amazing when I think about this now, because right. no offense, but you had already kind of gone into the old man thing. You had your whole routine and whatever, and everyone was getting a little old, and we were like 30 and whatever. And I was like, why does no one want to go to karaoke with me at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday?
Right.
So now we go bowling. I fully expected to bowl a couple of frames yep. and then go home.
Right.
We walk. I don't know who it was, but we end up at the dive bar.
Well, we got drunk at the bowling
alley. We got drunk at the bowling alley, yeah. yes.
So then we're like, well, we want to keep drinking.
That is the key. So I was like shocked that we even ended up at the bar.
Right.
And then we sang a song and then stayed to close out the bar.
Correct.
That was amazing. If you think about how, like, improbable that was, mm-hmm. that we did that. And so we finally got the song in, and what happened?
We killed it.
Killed it.
We turned everyone around. They were cheering. They were singing along.
They were dancing around us.
Yes.
We weren't even looking at the words anymore. We were just in, like, a rave.
Right.
At this little tiny bar, just people, like, going, oh, my God, these guys are killing this Lady Gaga.
If you didn't know better, you would have thought we set them up with Stan. To then bring them up, you know, so like, it was like a work.
If you or anyone didn't know better, we should have just set it up that way that we did that. I just thought of that. It's a great idea.
But it was a lot of fun, and you did the majority of the work on that song. I just did the rah-rah, la-la-la, Bad Romance.
Well, that's the key to karaoke. If any of you out there are nervous about singing a karaoke song, you think you don't have a great singing voice. I don't have a great singing voice. I'm great at karaoke. Why? Rule number one, the only rule, know the words.
Yes. And enthusiasm.
Know the words so that you don't just sound like an idiot reading off a screen.
Right.
And just pretend like that's your song, like it was written for you. You'll kill it. Doesn't matter what you sound like.
All right. So we've got a lot of life advice here tonight. So why don't we turn 25 minutes in? Why don't we turn...
How to sing karaoke and not get girls pregnant.
All right. Why don't we turn to wrestling? So it's been a while, like we talked about. And part of it was on me. Part of it's on you and part of it's on both of us. So both of us just... It may seem on the surface like we're not like super busy on these, like why can't we just get together on a Wednesday night? But it's just like shit adds up. You know what I mean? Like I got this night, that night, this night. And it's hard to commit. Secondly, there's been a couple of times where I've asked you to watch stuff and we were going to record and then you just didn't watch it. And we didn't record.
True.
Thirdly, I had zero interest in talking about SummerSlam 1988. And so I've talked about it a lot. Scott and I just did it. You and I fucking did it when we started the show. Like, I was just done. Like, I didn't need your thoughts on the fucking Megabucks, Megapowers again.
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't have me watch WrestleMania 89, and I realized, oh, you did.
We had watched it when we started.
Season one.
So we put up a... We were talking, I think, at the Celtics game, and, you know, Roger was weighing in and others, and we were just, like, back and forth, and we're like, all right, why don't we put up a post and ask people what they want to hear? Should they suggest matches? Should we break the timeline? Maybe the timeline has us stifled. Maybe you watching the full shows isn't working. Do we want to go back to the select matches? Do we even want a theme? Do we just want random matches and combine them into a show? And we got a ton of feedback instantaneously, like within like a day. We had like a ton of comments with all different ideas and suggestions. But there were a couple that really stood out, and they were from longtime fans that have been very vocal. And there was one in particular that was very, very vocal, very strong about why the concept of chronological, staying chronologically worked so well. And just, you know, how good of an idea it was and the journey of you as this clean slate kind of evolving through time. And when I read that, it kind of sunk in that, all right, we're going to be dumb if we switch off because, yes, this stuff will be much more impactful for you if we're watching it play out. But my problem still remained that I just could not talk SummerSlam 88 again. Like, I just had zero interest in sitting here and doing that. So I said, you know what? Why don't we meet in the middle? Since we already covered the Mega Power stuff and you got the gist, why don't we fast forward a little bit past WrestleMania 5 to net new territory, which you have not seen now. So, like, that stuff you had seen in episode in the first episode. Let's stay chronological. We're going to fast forward, you know, about a year from WrestleMania 4 right till after WrestleMania 5. And instead of just going show by show, which we're just never going to get through because of our schedules. Like, it sounds great to say you'll just watch a pay-per-view and I'll talk about the pay-per-view. We decided instead I'm going to kind of prescribe to you, like, three or four things. You're going to watch them all. And then instead of breaking down every match of every show, we're just going to kind of go through the shows and you're going to talk about what you liked, what you didn't like, what the shows meant, and just kind of look at it that way. Does that pretty much sum up how we got here?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of funny to look at the posts,
right?
Like, oh, we're gonna do this thing, you know, we're gonna try a new progressive approach, and we're like, no,
right,
he's gotta go chronological.
Yeah,
you can't fuck around, we're not skipping, he's gotta see this and he's gotta see this. And remember that one guy who was like really upset that you ruined the first time I saw Kane? Like, you ruined Kane for Jeff. You ruined it forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay guys. And that's fine, yeah.
It was awesome, though, to see, it actually caught me off guard, like, the dedication of the fan base of the show, especially for since we're so sporadic.
It makes sense, because, like, I've talked about my love for Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
And I loved watching Days of Our Lives, and if I was going to listen to a show, this person learns Days of Our Lives, I wouldn't want to just show them highlights.
Right.
I'm like, you got to watch the whole thing. You got to see how all these people got to where they are.
Okay. All right. And
that makes sense.
So that's what we're doing. So I had you... So we went to after WrestleMania 5 and I had you watch three shows that I thought were important through that summer. This is going to take us to the whole summer of 89. So you watched the May 1989 Saturday Night's Main Event, the July 89 Saturday Night's Main Event, and then SummerSlam 1989. In watching those, like, were you excited to sit and watch wrestling again? Like, those are three decent length shows. They're like, you know, cut down without commercials. The Saturday Night's Main Event's about an hour. Pay-per-view's almost three. So, I mean, you bang through 5 hours of wrestling in a couple weeks. And it sounds like you actually watched them twice, or you went through once and then kind of sped through.
Yeah, I kind of watched them once and a half.
Yeah.
Well, let me clear up something, because I think you're misrepresenting me.
Okay.
You're like, I'm busy, I don't have time to watch the shows. It's not about that. It's about enjoying them. It's about, like, first of all, if you say there's this important match in this three-hour pay-per-view, I want to watch the whole pay-per-view.
Right.
I want to be like... If I was there, watch, like, I just bought it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not about me not having time to watch them. It's about sort of fearing the homework aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's like I have to watch these and come up with interesting commentary. I'm not a wrestling expert.
Right.
So a lot of times I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be saying about this stuff. So to be able to just, like, breeze through chronologically but faster.
Right.
Kind of like, you know. This is a seminal moment. This might be a seminal moment. But I can just watch them and not necessarily talk about every match.
Right.
But just be like, this is what I took from it. Then that kind of relaxed me a little bit. Got me more into like the excitement, childlike joy
okay.
of the wrestling.
Yeah, no, that's good. And that's the way you should watch it. Like, I thought about it, and I'm like, there's already a million shows breaking down matches. Like we didn't need to sit here, and you don't need to rate matches and break them down. And it's like, this is not what we really needed to do. So I like the idea of just kind of watching it through those eyes and just, like you said, giving your thoughts as it went, what jumped out at you, what was important, questions you have, and we'll answer them. So why don't we dive in? We'll start with the May 89 Saturday Night's Main Event. And this is a cool one. I really always liked this one. And it was one of the earliest moments of wrestling that I had seen. And it wasn't because I saw it live. There was a video store at Stop and Shop, the one I'd eventually gone to work at. And one of the guys in there was a wrestling fan. And one of the first matches I saw was Hulk Hogan versus the Big Boss Man was playing in the video store. So as my mom was shopping, I was sitting in the video store watching this match. And obviously enthralled. So it's always one that's like kind of spoke to me and stood out to me. So I was hoping, you know, I'm really curious of your reaction to that match when we get to it. So why don't we start just off the top? I'm going to just read the card real quick, and then you tell me what you want to talk about it, okay? So Hacksaw Jim Duggan fought Rick Rude, and he was King Duggan.
King Duggan.
Randy Savage and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Hulk Hogan and Big Boss Man in the Steel Cage. The Brainbusters versus Demolition, and that was it. No, I'm sorry. Jimmy Snuka and Boris Zukov. Jimmy Snuka. So,
all right,
so talk to me.
First of all... You know, people like been really hard on me for hating Jim Duggan, but I don't see what he is good at all.
Right.
First of all, can you understand the irony of being this super mega patriot who's dressed up like a king?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's good stuff.
I mean, America is a democracy, and he's the king. Explain that to me. That makes no sense.
And I'm pretty sure Jesse would call that out a bunch too, kind of like, you know, there's no king in America. What's this idiot doing kind of thing?
I think I would have noticed that.
I'm not saying on the show. I think it was something he would bring up
time
to time.
Yeah, and he's like, I think he'd probably be popular now with all the xenophobia.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to let him sing the Russian national anthem.
Yeah, but the 80s were very xenophobic as well, with the Cold War and all that, with Russia.
It just makes me sad that all the fans ate this up. I mean, he basically, his battle cry, oh, you just sound like an idiot. Like, oh, we love this guy. Why? Because he's an idiot.
It's funny.
Congratulations.
You're very, like, the antithesis of Scott, but this is one thing where you guys are, like, lockstep on. He hates Duggan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Duggan's got some good points. I hate agreeing with Scott on shit.
He was actually really great even before this character in the territory called Mid-South Wrestling, where he was a bit more of a wrestler, and he was a bit more of, like, an everyman versus, like, this pure patriot. but...
Yeah, wasn't he a heel?
He was a heel, yeah. And then he turned
and read something on Wikipedia. And
but the thing,
like, how this guy even got discovered?
But the thing is too, he'll still roll out like at independent shows these days, and like it's still super over. It's just something about that time period and people like that that is connected with the fans, and he was one of them. Like, if you look at the point of wrestling,
is it the 2x4? Is there something cool about having a weapon that is really hard to grab that you can't shoot?
I think. He used to try to shoot it. He'd always line it up like a rifle. I think part of it was him as, kind of representing America during a xenophobic era. Simpleton, kind of an everyman. You could easily relate to him. He just went out there and beat the shit out of guys. Was very vocal. He's just kind of larger than life. And there's a lot of guys like him during that time period that stood out. And if you look at the point of wrestling, it's to kind of entice the fans and be one with the fans. And
is that why Rick Rude's always a bad guy? Because wrestling fans feel like they're not good looking?
Yeah, he wants to. They're jealous that he's going to bang their wives.
The women actually like him. It's funny because right. he does his little dance, and yeah. they pan to the crowd, and you can see women going, "Oh my
and
god!"
Like looking
look
at
their
lips and shit. And
that mustache got a lot of action,
especially if they're ovulating.
Yeah, especially
they're all heated up.
That's how nature works. They want women to want to have sex when they can get pregnant.
Right.
That's the key. Never have sex with your girlfriend when she wants to have sex. Step one to not impregnating her.
Yes, their eggs are calling for you.
So this was the Intercontinental. First of all, how did Rude get the Intercontinental Championship? Wasn't it?
So he beat the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania.
The Warrior had it.
Yeah, beating Honky Tonk
Man.
Who
did Warrior beat?
Honky Tonk Man. Right, we saw that.
Yeah,
and
that
at WrestleMania 5, Rude, Bobby Heenan hooked the Ultimate Warrior's leg and held it down, and Rude pinned him for the title.
Okay, I remember that now. Yeah.
And King defeated Duggan defeated Haku to become King.
Haku was the king? King Haku? Another very ironic choice of king.
Well, there's kings on islands.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I guess so. Isn't it more like a tribal...
Yeah, same thing. Still a
king. It can be one king. It's like the leader of a certain tribe. It's more of a oligarchy.
All right. Talk about the match.
wait, which one are we talking about?
Well, wherever you want to go. We're not going to fall right back into our trope of match by match. But
all
right,
so Duggan and Rude. Duggan lets him get counted out like an idiot.
Yes.
Jesse actually points out, like, he's so stupid, though. He's not going to retain the title. Like, he... Enough of Duggan. Is there any more Duggan?
He's around since 1993.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's on pretty much every pay-per-view.
All right. I remember... I think it's... Maybe it's our ages, because we were about 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you were like eight. You're like a young... You're a young 80 guy.
Yeah, my birthday is in next week.
You're so much younger than everybody else. Kudos to that.
Thank you.
They'll destroyed me.
I'm just going to be turning 38.
I know. It's like, how do we even have anything in common?
I know. Maybe we don't.
But I feel like I remember this episode, and maybe it was because of the movie. I don't know if the movie had come out, but like obviously the whole Zeus stuff.
Oh, no, the movie had not come out. It came out, I think, in June.
Okay.
But
there's something... I remember... Because remember in the first episode I talked about, I had very few memories. I remember the Ultimate Warrior. Right. I remember Mr. Perfect. And this kind of came back to me. I was like, oh, Big Boss Man. He has a nightstick and handcuffs.
Yeah.
And there's a cage. So I feel like I saw this Hogan Boss
Man. Maybe you saw it at Stop and Shop.
Maybe I did.
Maybe it was on in the video store.
I just think this must have been like the peak of the Hogan popularity, the movie coming out.
It was maybe like just past the peak.
But what was cool about this show was the intros and just appreciating how good Hogan was at talking.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone else is so bad at it.
Yeah. I don't know everyone else, but...
Everyone on this card. Well, Savage is good.
Yeah.
But
Bobby Heenan's good. Did Heenan talk?
Oh, Heenan's a genius, yeah. Obviously. But, like, Rick Rude. Like, what happens to people when they're dreaming? They get a rude awakening. Like, he blows a kiss and then laughs.
Yeah.
And possibly the worst interview I've ever seen was the Anvil.
Oh yeah, he's terrible.
And I remember, and now it makes so much sense as to why the Hart Foundation broke up and Bret Hart like kind of took off. Uh-huh. Because he, oh my god, I can't even like, I was trying to do an impression on the car drive over here, I couldn't even do it. He's just like, I'm gonna beat Savage. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Savage is not a good person. He treated Elizabeth badly. Oh man, terrible. It's like, I hope you lose now. I don't care. You suck. How can someone with such a cool facial hair like thing be such a bad actor? Like, you figure that he would be like practicing.
Right. Maybe he was. Maybe he was even worse.
What was even the point of Savage Anvil? It's like a throwaway fight.
Well,
or was it a number one contender thing?
Yeah, but see, the stuff on Saturday's Main Event was really... It was rare that they'd be on NBC like that in prime time. So it was like almost like a showcase. And you didn't always get big matches between like named guys. So, like, any match like that at the time was kind of big. So it's like, okay, I'm getting these big matches, random matches between name guys, and we're showcasing our talent for this potential new audience. So I think it was just a way to mix things up and have different matches. And
That leads me to a good question, because I remember watching on, like, Saturday morning or whatever, and it'd be like, the Ultimate Warrior fighting Joe Davis from Memphis, Tennessee. You know, just be like, throwaway fight. Do they still have the Joe Davises of the world?
No.
Or is it always just names on
that
these?
That pretty much died in, like, the mid-90s when WCW launches their Monday Night show, and the competition really heats up between the two promotions on Monday Night. They were kind of forced into not having those enhancement matches anymore, which is too bad, because I actually think they served a nice purpose. And at the time, it seemed like it was boring, because at the time, the whole concept of wrestling was, of televised wrestling was, showcase these stars to get people to come to the local show to see the two stars fight. So I'd see Hercules take on some bum, but I'd get to learn what he was about. I'd see his moves and understand what he was. He'd get over. And then I'd see Rick Rude do the same. And then, oh, I can go see them fight at the Providence Civic Center. I can't see that on TV. They only fight these other guys. And it'd be cool to see how they match up. And all those guys were well protected, because all they did was win every week against these bumps. You know what I mean? They'd have a feature match here and there.
So you think it's worse now? Because now every match has to be carefully orchestrated and booked?
Yeah, but the problem is, there's so much of what's called like 50-50. Because guys, like, you only have so many combinations of guys. So guys fight a ton, and they just trade wins. And it's harder to get that momentum of like an undefeated run or looking really strong on TV, because we've seen them fight, you know, 15 times already this year on TV. So it's like now you're watching it more for the things turn where you're watching it was more for the, you're in on the story. You're watching it more for the match quality and the guy you like, you hoped gets written to win, versus this time period where you believed more and you were just rooted for your guy to actually win. But anyway.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it progresses without the...
We'll get there, if we get there.
Shut up, we're going to get there.
You'll see where it turns.
Have a little faith.
All right, talk more. What else we got?
All right, so now Savage is a Scary Sherry.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Are we supposed to believe that Scary Sherry... Like, was she a sex symbol at this point? Or is it just such an obvious turn away from Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth is like a 10, and Sherry's like a 4.
So Sherry was women's champion for a while, and... after WrestleMania 5, when Hogan vanquished Savage and the Mega Powers exploded because of Savage kind of using Liz as like a shield and everything else, like she just kind of stayed with Hogan. She actually didn't really do too much. She kind of
is she like
away.
Banging Hogan, or no, is it to just, be understood that she's banging her?
They weren't really banging because she was married to Savage. If you ask Savage, you'd probably say they were banging because he was a super jealous guy. But
in real life,
correct. But no, I don't think.
So do you think Savage like beat Scary Sherry off camera because she was such, she made him look so bad? He'd be like, oh yeah. And she'd be like, oh yeah. He's what? Probably like, you suck. You're just ruining this whole thing for me.
No, they work really well together. We'll see.
Okay.
And improves. But that's anyway, so they, I think they wanted to give her, yes, like, fuck you, Liz. I'm going with this crazy bitch. And we're just going to be insane. And Savage, like, you'll see his progression in becoming more and more like insane. And Sherry kind of, like right now, Sherry's like a witch. And that kind of fades. Like, she's kind of doing this, like, potions and, like, all this stuff. And that kind of goes away. And they're just kind of crazy.
I forgot about the cauldron.
Yeah, like,
and
all that stuff.
She got the stupid eye makeup. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that stuff starts to fade away soon. But.
Well, that brings me to my biggest criticism of this arc of shows that you had me watch was I don't really like the whole, like, supernatural stuff.
Was there a lot of it? Or just that?
Well, there's like the Zeus character.
Oh, yeah. The Zeus thing is weird because they almost made it like he came from the movie and he was really mad at Hogan, the character, who was Rip in the movie, but he's following him here.
Yeah.
They didn't really say it was like the actor, like Tony Lister. It was like actual Zeus. So
they're saying like it's like the same universe.
Right. But Hogan has a different name and it's clearly not the same universe because that's like underground fighting kind of. I don't know. The whole thing's weird.
And, like, Hogan comes into the match, and he's about to kick the boss man's ass, and he's just like, I'm Zeus.
That was a cool visual, though.
You know.
Standing on the stairs, and Hogan is kind of looking up at him, and then he twists his neck, does that thing. That was kind of cool.
Move me. I'm a monster. I don't know. The whole monster thing, I just can't really. Right. I know there's some other monsters, and I'm kind of a hypocrite because... Like, I am excited to see The Undertaker get him into the...
Right.
But I don't know. The Undertaker just makes it work. Maybe I just don't like Zeus.
Yeah, it might be a Zeus issue.
It could be.
Mesa
why,
Z. All right,
so why is Hogan fighting Boss Man? Is he just like this? Is he actually, was he going to be a contender?
Yeah, so in 88, late 88, Boss Man attacked Hogan, cuffed him, and beat the shit out of him, and they've kind of been feuding since.
Ah, I remember that.
And if you also remember, the Twin Towers fought the Mega Powers when Elizabeth got knocked out, and they started to split apart. So they've kind of been in the ointment of the Mega Powers since the fall, and now that Hogan's champion, Boss Man wants the gold. So this is kind of their last hurrah, though. They're done after this.
I think they just keep putting Hogan against fat guys. They're like, oh, Hogan versus Giant, Hogan versus Zeus, Hogan versus Boss Man, King Kong Bundy.
It works well, though.
Yeah, but why can't, like, I don't know. He has no wrestling ability. He just has to.
Well, he did. He's fought Roddy Piper. He's fought Randy Savage, Paul Orndorff. It's about even.
And Savage is your favorite guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to keep that as a on the back burner.
Okay.
I'm going to work towards my thoughts of Savage being your favorite.
All right. What did you think of this match?
It was really cool. I like the idea of the no holds barred thing. I think they probably could have gone a little crazier, kind of like the Magnum Tully style. But I got to say, the suplex where Hogan suplexes Boss Man over the top of the cage.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite move so far that I've seen.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's a pretty legendary
that
moment.
That is really hard to do. It looked like it was hard to do.
Right. And Boss Man, I mean, that is a long drop for a guy that big. It's just, and his big body hitting the mat is like so impressive sounding.
To lift the guy over and then for them both to fall and not die,
yeah,
or not break a leg, that was cool. That was cool.
It was a great moment.
Yeah, so overall, I liked the match a lot. It was a good change of pace from Randy Savage.
And the Anvil.
And the Anvil.
All right, what'd you think? Anything else on Demolition Brainbusters?
Question one on Savage.
Okay, yeah.
Because like I said, there's going to be a thread.
All right.
So Savage has the cool shades and the logo and the cape and the song. And he comes into the ring. Basically, every time I've seen him wrestle, when the other guy comes in the ring, he jumps out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I like it because he is a smart wrestler. He's not going to get caught off guard. He's not going to get attacked at the bell. If he's on the floor with his eyes on the guy, he can make the first move, right? So if the other guy gets in the ring and he's looking to the crowd, Savage can come in from behind, or he can eyeball him, look him straight in the eye, and be ready to go. So I think it's a good psychology.
So it's a tactic.
Yes.
It's not like running away.
No, I don't think it's cowardice. It's a tactic.
Okay. Question answered.
All right.
So what else? There was the Axe and Smash versus Brainbusters. Tully.
Yes.
Tully's back.
He's back in your life.
It's amazing. I thought I would never see him again.
Here he is.
Axe and Smash are kind of weird. I mean,
I thought you'd like the S&M stuff.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Like, they're dressed up as like,
right,
bond, like S&M bondage dudes.
Yep.
Like,
you're not into it? I thought you'd be into it.
How are they good guys?
So they weren't. They were like big time heels. And the crowd disliked them so much and cheered them so much.
Is it because of the name Axe and Smash?
Yeah, and the music and the look. I mean, they're just like badasses and like.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's
fans
like,
love when.
Fans love the idiot with the 2x4,
yep,
whose finishing move is a football thing.
Yep.
And S&M.
Well,
this is America.
I think it's like big guys that just beat the shit out of other guys. Like,
what is their relationship? Are they brothers?
They're just good friends.
Are they like a relationship kind of thing?
No,
I
mean,
they like hook up with girls together?
They never explored any of those areas on air.
How can you not explore those areas when they're both dressed up in sexual gear?
Right. I mean, do they run a dungeon?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking.
Well, that doesn't mean that they're involved with the girl. They could just run the dungeon.
Also, I feel like they're like 20 years apart in age. Axe looks like a high school teacher who's putting on a show for his students.
Right.
He looks like an old football coach.
Yeah, I don't know how much older he was. I can look it up. Let's see real quick. So I know
they lost, right? They lost.
By DQ.
So the Brainbusters are the champions.
Well, that's the next. You're ahead one.
Okay.
They fought once. All right, so Axe is currently 70. He was born in 1947.
William, I bet he was a football coach at some point.
and Smash is 59. So 11 years.
I'm pretty right.
It's like you and your ex-fiance.
I'm very smart. I don't know why I am so unsuccessful, but
I wouldn't say you're unsuccessful.
I think maybe my 40s will be my wheelhouse decade.
All right, we'll see. All right, anything on that match besides Tully being back and the S&M?
No, I still kind of hated Tully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Arn?
He's like doing the whole jumping around, making the O face thing. Like, ooh.
Do you like Arn?
He's better.
Yeah.
Arn what?
Anderson.
Arn Anderson?
Or Daddy Arn, as some call him. Daddy Arn. You're into that.
It's just... I mean, I feel like from day one, I've been against this whole tag team thing. If you're going to do a super match tag team, like the Mega Powers versus whatever, fine. But these whole generic tag teams, like the Rougeau Brothers or the Bulldogs or the Brain Busters, Strike Force, it's just kind of stupid. It's like, come on.
Why?
The Brain Busters? What does that even mean?
Well, because they're managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan.
They're not busting his brain.
I don't know. So you just don't like tag team wrestling.
Why can't Axe fight on his own? Why do they have to fight together? It doesn't make any sense.
Because he's a specialist in the tag game, you know?
How can you be a specialist in the tag game? You're doing the same things. It's just when you get tired, you tag the other guy.
Well, yeah, but you have to learn how to work as a unit and double team and know when to tag and when not to tag. And it's like doubles tennis.
You sound like Jesse the Body Ventura right now.
What do you think of doubles tennis?
He's trying to sell me on doubles tennis is terrible. I watch anything. I cannot watch a match of doubles tennis.
What about team darts?
I've never watched a tag team match. There's no team darts. I've never watched a tag team match where there isn't just rampant cheating.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Yeah. I've solved it.
It's building heat.
They're tricking you guys into watching matches where they can cheat. Like, oh, the referee can't keep his eyes on four guys. Who's the legal guy? Oh, you get five seconds. To, you know, once the tag is in, both guys... How does that make any sense? You tag the guy and you can stay in for another 5 seconds?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay. Anything on Snuka and Zukov before we move on?
How old is Snuka at this point? He looks like flabby. He looks like an old man.
He is pretty old. Let's see. So he would be...
Oh, he's dead. God damn it.
No, you should be glad he's dead. He's a piece of shit. So he was born in 43, so he would have been, what, 45? 46 when you were watching that. So, yeah, he was pretty old.
Jesus, yeah. He was a piece of shit?
Yeah.
Was he like Hogan? He called, used the N-word?
No.
Why are you ruining everything for me? Well, my dad loves Jimmy Snuka. He has, like, a poster of him.
Do you not want me to tell you the story?
No, tell me. I need to know, but God damn you.
He basically beat his girlfriend to death and then played dumb like he didn't speak English when the cops came. And Vince McMahon showed up and kind of talked it through. And nothing ever really came of it till like 3 years ago when the case got reopened. And then he died.
Like Coach Paterno.
Right.
Died of a broken heart.
Yeah. Died of being a shitbag.
Died of getting caught being a total asshole. Well, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So, was this a CTE situation or was he always kind of a bad dude?
I guess it could have been, but I don't know. I mean, if you kill your girlfriend, you're probably a bad dude, is my guess.
Yeah.
He went on to wrestle for, you know, 20 years after that, so.
Oh, wow. Well, it's another childhood memory ruined.
Sorry.
Can't wait to talk to my dad about this.
See, I'm not going to hide the ones.
Oh, by the way, Dad, if you're listening, the whole Plan B stuff, it was mostly just kind of funny.
You're 39. Deal with it, Coach.
He thinks I'm a saint.
You are.
Yeah.
All right. I don't like the nice wrestlers that died. I'm gonna not spoil for you, but pieces of shit like Snuka. I don't want.
No, this is why we're doing chronological.
I know.
One at a time.
But I don't want you idolizing Snuka, and then you find out that he was a murderer. So I'm telling you now, so you can just hate him as you go.
All right. Well, succeeded.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to July.
All right. So in this one, we got the Brain Busters busting brains. Busting brains all over the mat. Who they fight again? Axe and Smash?
Again, for the titles. And this is where they win them.
Okay, so this was a 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah.
So there was one disqualification.
Yeah.
And then how'd they get the final fall? I kind of...
Let me pull it up here. I don't remember.
It's such a mismatch. to let them win.
Smash pinned Arn.
What was the setup for this to let them win? Like, for another show for the next year? Is there another tag team waiting in the wings that the Brainbusters have to lose to? Or are they just going to go have a rematch?
No, there's other teams waiting in the wings, but they pretty much go to a rematch. There's not much else going on. What did you think of 2 out of 3 falls?
Well, I don't know. I don't really love it. A match is so, like, difficult. It can go 10 minutes, 15 minutes, these epic matches, and then when someone finally loses, everyone's all, like, the winner's like, and they're stammering all over the place and sweating everywhere, and the other guy's, like, writhing on the floor, and somebody else comes in to beat up the winner, whatever. So how are you going to, like, all right, that's one, and then let's do it again? That's too much.
Well, the weird thing is, too, like, the match seems to end easier sometimes. Like, this first fall is 5 minutes. Like, if they had a regular match, there's no way it ends in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the first fall is always, right, like a throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're ahead now.
Right.
The pressure's on the...
If it's done right, it can be good. But there are some times where it feels like they did it just to do it, and they didn't need it.
Especially in a tag team situation. If, like, a championship match was 2 out of 3, that'd be cool.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing all this criticizing of America and Americans. Mm-hmm. I'm a hypocrite. I'm very American. I just want to watch the championship matches. Just give me the championship matches.
That's it? That's all you want?
Just give me Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Undertaker.
Well, is that what you want to do from now on? You want to just watch the main events?
No, the people have spoken.
Okay.
I have to be dragged through this mire of
brainbusters
and all these idiots.
All right, well, so here's the rest of the card.
I can't wait to hear the feedback from the Tully Blanchard fans, because they already get mad at me for calling him a pussy.
They did get mad at you. That was your biggest lightning rod moment.
Yeah, okay, bring it, guys. Tell me why Tully Blanchard is such a great brainbuster. Tell me about the brainbusters and their brilliance. I can't wait to hear it.
All right, well, Hulk Hogan, Honky Tonk Man was the opener here. Snuka and Greg Valentine.
Greg Valentine.
Brutus Beefcake and the Macho Man. And then that tag team title match that we just talked about. So anything on Hogan Honky?
Honky, they did a montage of him hitting guys with his guitar. Like, he's got to stop doing that.
Not into it?
First of all, it's a waste of a guitar. Second of all, didn't he, like, damage Jake the Snake, like, really bad?
He did, but that was when they used, like, a real guitar. Now he's using that flimsy, like, balsa wood fake guitars.
Oh, they got like a breakaway guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the problem with the Jake one was that they used like the real fucking guitar.
Yeah, I watched that again and damn.
The Jake one?
Yeah.
Was it in that clip or you just went back?
It was in the clip, yeah. He got stunned pretty good.
Yeah.
Alright, so everyone knows like I have this thing against Honky Tonk Man. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way he sounds. I don't like his whole women want me thing. But I have a bit more respect for him now.
Really?
Yeah, he's a pretty good talker,
mm-hmm.
and he's a good faller.
He is a good faller.
He can take a punch.
He's just super awkward, the way he moves.
Yeah,
but he's very, got, like, herky-jerky.
His
very
lower body, he's kind of got the Harley Race legs, you know?
Right.
Like the tippy-top. But,
Hogan pretty much just murders him here.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Were you okay with that? Honky kind of had his run. Once he lost that IC title, it was over for him.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I'm like, all right, if I'm watching this match, maybe Honky Tonk Man beats Hulk Hogan. There's some kind of feud brewing there. But once he pretty much handled him, I'm like, I wonder, is this the end of the Honky Tonk Man? Did the song not get as many iTunes downloads as they had hoped?
He's around for another, like, a year and a half or so.
Okay.
But he's pretty much peaked.
But I did like Hogan's intro. Again, a theme of mine, talking about Hogan's talking. Before the Boss Man fight, he had just reference after reference of the legal system.
Right.
Like, I'm going to find you guilty, and your sentence is going to be all eternity with Hulkamaniacs. And now it's all Elvis references.
Right.
He fit in, like, 8 Elvis references in 30 seconds. It was amazing. He's just, you can tell he's just all, has this all in his head.
Yeah.
He's not even reading
cue cards. Was there a blue suede shoes one?
There's a blue suede shoes. There was a...
Is there a blue Christmas?
I don't know if it was Christmas. I mean, it was July.
Yeah, Christmas in July.
But there's a lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of good Elvis stuff from Hogan.
All right. All right. So, Snuka Valentine, you want to talk about that?
I got to say, I don't really remember this one.
Okay, we can move on. Fuck Snuka.
Fuck Snuka. Greg the Valentine also beat his girlfriend to death.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's not true. I was just trying to even the playing field of...
All right, Beefcake Savage.
Tell me about this one.
What did you think of Beefcake's new short hair?
Didn't they cut it off? Like Sherry cut it off or something? Yeah, okay. I don't know. I mean, Beefcake's whole thing... It's got to be coming to an end at some point, right? He's got the bow tie. He's got the mesh. It's just kind of like, I don't know what I'm looking at. He wants to cut people's hair.
What did you think of... all right, we'll get to the... So I like the match as a whole. I think it's actually one of Beefcake's best. What did you think of Zeus at the end coming in and the whole thing with Hogan and the chairs? And like, this is a pretty iconic moment to set up SummerSlam. Them staring down at Zeus and they got the chairs up, you know, up in the air and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, the chairs... What can you say about wrestling in the 80s except for chairs, right?
Mm.
So to see Hogan hit him with a chair and then have him go, oh my God, he didn't... Like, you could hit me with a chair.
Right.
You could hit me right now, as hard as you can, across the back or face with a metal folding chair, and I will not be fazed.
Even if I had the 24-inch pythons?
I mean, you're a pretty strong guy, comparatively speaking.
Right.
You could get me pretty good, and I'd be like, it's a chair.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny to see, like, oh my God,
that,
Zeus
that
didn't
take him down, yeah.
Not even the chair. That's like kryptonite. It's like wrestling kryptonite, the chair. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know. I'm a front runner. I don't like to see Hogan be, like, afraid. I mean, this guy body slammed Hulk, Andre the Giant.
He's not afraid. It's more like...
He seemed kind of afraid.
He's like kind of stunned, like, and he's got to regroup. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be like, all right, I got to figure this out.
The chair is not working. I need a new strategy.
Right. Like not even a chair hurts this guy. What am I going to do?
Yeah, so it was a good setup.
Okay. So you feel like it kind of sold you on SummerSlam? Yeah. Like, were you excited to see that match at SummerSlam after watching that?
Yeah, although I didn't expect the main card to be a tag team. I thought there'd be some kind of changing of... belts.
Right.
I thought there'd be a defense.
Yeah, well, so the SummerSlam of the year before... They
is there
the
a Hogan versus Zeus match?
They never actually do a singles. I don't think... There were rumors that it was going to be the WrestleMania main event, but I don't think they have the faith that Zeus...
Where did he come from? He had never wrestled before? He's just an actor.
Yeah.
With an amazingly large body and crazy eyes.
Yep.
I mean, he was in Batman. You see Batman?
Yeah, he was in Batman, and he was in Friday.
He saved an entire boat.
Yeah.
He saved two boats, actually.
He was also in the Santeria video, Sublime.
Oh, yeah, he was the bad guy in Friday. I forgot about that. He's good. Made a little nice little career of himself.
He did. All right, anything else on this show? Or we'll move on to SummerSlam.
No, I just like Liz. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're all in.
She's made my top three.
Hachimachi?
She has made my top three all time. Number one, have I gone through this already?
No, go ahead.
Miss Parker from The Pretender. Remember that show?
No.
Some of the listeners must remember The Pretender. It was like a classic late 90s show.
Sure.
Miss Parker was this evil woman out to get the guy who escaped, who can do anything he wants. He can become a doctor or scientist. Mm-hmm. You'll also remember her as the nurse who bathes the patient in the Seinfeld episode, the contest. Anyway, she's hot. She's my number one.
Okay.
Number two is Tracy Lords.
Yeah.
The mother of modern lovemaking. Do yourself a favor, Google her. Incredible. And now Miss Elizabeth, number three.
It's lofty territory.
She's bumped out Beyonce. That's my number three.
Oh, is this a bigger power couple?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to SummerSlam.
All right, SummerSlam. Who is Schiavone?
Tony Schiavone.
Why isn't McMahon or Gorilla doing SummerSlam?
Well, because they brought Schiavone in from the NWA. You would have heard him.
Schiavone?
Schiavone.
Not Schiavone, like the yogurt?
That's not Schiavone.
Like, come on, Schiavone.
He would have called the Tully Blanchard Magna match, actually.
Oh, really?
In the NWA. I think so.
He doesn't do a good job as Gorilla with disagreeing with Jesse.
Not even where Jesse, like, flips out on him during the Ultimate Warrior match?
No, I mean, he's, like, too far on the other. Him and McMahon, like, Gorilla will disagree with him, but still kind of be calling the match with him.
Right.
Whereas this guy is like, come on, Jesse, like, they should be disqualified for that. Like, no way, Jesse, you know.
So you think he's, like, too
biased. Homer. Too biased, okay.
All right.
That's his whole story. He just worked for another company.
He worked in NWA. He was their main guy. He kind of gets screwed out of like a promotion to kind of rise up the ranks, so he left. He's in the WWF for about a year. He showed up right before WrestleMania 5, leaves right before WrestleMania 6, and he goes back. And he's WCW's like main commentator until they went under. And he actually has a pretty successful podcast.
Well, we'll have to get on that someday.
Probably not going to happen, but...
Why are you so defeatist about all my great ideas?
Not defeatist.
I have these grandiose plans and ideas, and you're just like, no, it's not going to happen.
Let's just get through, like...
Shibani's not going to get us on his show. He's Shibani. He's too good for us. He's not.
I didn't say he's too good for us. In his mind, he may be.
No way.
Brainbuster Star Foundation.
This was the beginning. I think I actually texted you as I was watching this match. Man Crush is developing.
Okay. Tell us. Tully Blanchard.
Tully Blanchard. He's so much better than I thought he was. No, I'm kidding. It's Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Bret the Hitman Hart. First of all, awesome name.
Yep.
Second of all right, let me ask you this question because, again, let's go back to the subtle underlying
okay.
thread that I'm going to take you on.
All right.
If you were Macho Man Randy Savage and you didn't have crazy hair, like say you got like a real hairdresser.
Yeah.
And you made your hair look nice. And then say you took your weird face and made it look normal. And say you wore a pink singlet. Who are you then?
Jim Neidhart.
Bret Hart is a cooler Savage.
No way.
That's what I'm saying. But like I said, let's not go all in on this whole thing.
Though.
All right. Yeah. Bret Hart, love him. The Busters, still doing their job. Still kicking away.
That's a great match. I love that match.
It was a really good match, yeah. But Bret Hart was just like the star. It was like watching A-Rod play college ball. Yeah. It was a man amongst boys.
In that match, don't they do the move where Anvil holds Bret and like slams on top?
He throws like, him on top. Yeah. And actually jumped from the top rope and like knocked him out while he was holding him.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's good stuff.
It was a good match. It was a really good opener. All right, so Bret Hart, a guy to watch. He's on your watch list.
Jeff's rising star, Bret Hart.
Okay. We'll see how he develops.
Which is also ironic because I've talked about wanting to get into the Bret Hart-Shawn Michaels rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just watching this match. I'm like, look at these guys with green pants. Well, even whatever. I'm just going to fast forward. That's Shawn Michaels. That's Shawn Michaels. What is he doing?
He's in the Rockers. That's how he starts.
That's his like debut?
Yeah. Well, he'd been around about a year. That's another great match. I hope you didn't skip it.
No, I watched it.
Okay, good.
They lost, right?
Yeah, they do lose. Dusty Rhodes, baby. What'd you think of his debut, Jeff Scott?
Dusty Rhodes, man. He's fucking awesome. I mean, I have this like anti-Southern bias, but compared to the Honky Tonk Man, he's like the man.
Yeah. What's your bias?
I hate the South.
Okay.
I just hate their whole shtick. Like, oh, we can have, you know, fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
So you wouldn't date a Southern girl? Southern Belle?
No, I mean, my bias is just more for the humorous aspect of hating Southern characters or, say, Nick Saban, college football, things of that nature. But I actually went to Austin, Texas, and every girl there was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And the drawl and the y'all thing, like, hey, y'all. Oh, my God. They were amazing.
Right.
If I had more time, I think I was actually in a relationship at the time, though. Part of the reason why I was later out of that relationship. But no, I don't actually have any. I would definitely date a Southern girl, for sure.
Okay. Well, there's nice Southern girls out there listening.
I mean, you don't see a lot of Northeastern guys who wrestle when they're, you know, morbidly obese with polka dot spandex. That takes a real man to wear that outfit.
It's a man's man.
He's a man's man.
He's got some strong male sons.
Ah, inside jokes.
All right, so anything there besides... Oh, do you like Honky after he gets hit by the guitar and he's in the aisle and he's like punch drunk? He gets interviewed and he's like all fucking out on his feet. He really thinks he's Elvis or whatever.
I might have missed that part. What did he say?
I don't know. He just like rambles and like rambles on and he thinks like he's really Elvis or whatever. It's pretty funny.
Is this like his sign off?
No, like, he's still around.
He comes back.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a funny moment. So what was next was, oh, Mr. Perfect and Red Rooster. Was that next?
This match made me sad because Mr. Perfect, great name, great uniform, great finishing move. Red Rooster is a rooster.
Yeah, he is a rooster.
He has a red rooster thing on his head.
Yep.
And he's walking around like cocking his head. And I stopped and I thought to myself, if you switched their clothing and their shtick, they'd be the same guy. They're both tall.
Well, I think we talked about this, didn't we? That the urban legend was that they both got hired and they just were deciding like...
Oh, it was Mr. Perfect?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought what I remember is you just said the Red Rooster got hired by Heenan and he was like, I can make anybody into a wrestler.
Well, that's the storyline. But in real life, the urban legend is that they were kind of debating which gimmick to give which of these guys, Mr. Perfect or... the Red Rooster, and this is the way they went. I don't fully believe it, because I think...
If so, that's the least fair thing that's ever happened. I feel really bad for the Red Rooster. Because if I was the Red Rooster, he's probably like 60 or 70 years old right now, right? And he's like, I was a professional wrestler.
He actually works for...
Really?
He's like a coach for like the developmental and WWE.
Oh my God.
And Mr. Perfect's dead.
I take it back. He worked out well.
So this actually ends quick, because Red Rooster fucks his knee up. That's why they end it so fast when he fell out of the ring or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't, like, he falls
is
out of the ring.
Is there a cold word for that? It's like an emergency, pin me because I'm hurt.
Yeah, they just talk to the ref and the ref relays it. And then in more modern times, what will happen is if there's a real bad injury, the ref will do like this X sign to the back so everyone knows.
Oh.
But he hurt his knee, and then that's why he gets in the ring and Perfect just gets the Perfect Plex and finishes him off fast.
Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah. Makes it quick.
I won't, don't worry, I won't touch the knee. This will be quick.
It's like Adam with that.
I was wondering when Hogan suplexed Boss Man, because it took a while to develop.
Yeah.
I wish they were mic'd up. Because you know he was saying something comforting.
Right. Yeah.
Like, all right.
All right,
we're
going to
start on this side.
Don't look at that black guy in the crowd, brother. We'll be
are
okay.
You ready? Are you okay? He was definitely talking to him. Like, this could hurt a little bit. I don't know.
All right. Six
that
man.
Part fascinates me, like the part of like wrestlers talking to each other. Like, I really wish, because I haven't been able to catch usually something in the 80s or before.
Right.
Like in a movie, you know, you see like Gladiator, there's like a car in the background or whatever. Usually you can catch, I haven't been able to really catch someone.
No,
going,
they're good
like,
at it, yeah. A lot of times they'll be like in the chin lock and they'll kind of nestle in there and, you know, call the next few moves. All right, what'd you do this six man action with the Rockers and Chico Santana against Martel and the Rougeaus?
Again, it was a situation where there was one star, five duds.
Come on.
Duds. Big time.
You're calling Tito a dud? You're calling Martel a dud?
Tito Santana.
You're calling the Rougeaus duds?
I'm totally on Jesse's side in this, Chico.
Marty fucking Jannetty as a dud?
He's like the dragon, only less talented. Congratulations. Totally boring hype man face guy, Tito Santana.
Go ahead.
No, tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why Tito Santana's great.
He's a great worker. He's fiery. Connects with the crowd. He's frenetic. He sells like a motherfucker. Bumps all over the place. He's believable. He's got that hot Latin blood flowing through his veins. He's a stud.
I don't know. The optics just don't work for me. He's got like the perfect hair.
I know. He's Hispanic. You know, white. It's okay.
Oh, so now I'm a racist.
I didn't say that. You
That's
did.
That's cool. That's fine.
All right, but did you like the match itself? Because I love this match.
I guess not, because I don't really remember much from it.
Oh, it's like nonstop action. The guys are just going 100 miles an hour.
I mean, if I'm critical of tag team matches, how do you think I feel about 3-on-3 matches?
Yeah, I know.
There's too much going on. I can't follow all that stuff.
All right.
Who won it? I don't know who won.
The Rougeaus and Martel, because they had them in the roll-up, and they came in and hit them.
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, I do remember that.
All right, well, that brings us to our match of the night, I believe, and that's the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude for the Intercontinental title. This is another great match on a really good show. Rude had screwed Warrior at WrestleMania. Warrior was looking for revenge. Has one of the best pile drivers. You wanted good pile drivers.
Did that
you
was like, a good pile.
Was driver. A good pile driver, right?
I think it was more Rude than right. the Warrior.
Yeah,
I think the person getting pile drived has to be like stronger. It's kind of right. like skiing, you know.
Yeah.
Skiing, all you're doing is not falling.
Skiing, the guy hitting the tree has to be stronger than
exactly. Yeah, that was good. I actually did note that. That I was like, oh, right. good pile driver.
And this is where Jesse and Giovanni really have the best moment of the night. When Tony says that he can use the chair because he's outside the ring, and Jesse just loses his fucking mind on him, and he's like, so you're telling me that he can get a gun and shoot Ultimate Warrior, and because it's outside the ring, it's okay. You're even dumber than Monsoon.
Like, you're even dumber. Yeah, I did. that's such great argument skills, too.
It's good.
Like, oh, he can do that, he can do anything.
Right.
Classic Jesse.
It's great. That's one of the highlights of the night. And then Roddy Piper comes out and moons Rick Rude, and Warrior beats him.
Yeah, I like the Warrior, too. Warrior is, like, on my second level of guys to watch.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because he does have that mystical stuff that I was just complaining about.
A little bit, but...
Also, what is his deal? Is he, like, a Hawaiian warrior?
No.
Like, a Native American? He's got, like, the...
Well, no, he was, like, the Dingo Warrior originally, but he's really just from Texas.
The Dingo Warrior.
It's funny because there's a legendary story out there that Harley Race, in his later years, grizzled, was trying to tell a story about the Ultimate Warrior and called him, you remember that guy, the Indian F-A-G-G-O-T guy.
We say the other F word now.
We can say it?
Yeah.
No, I don't, it's okay.
No, you don't say the word, you say the other F word.
Oh.
People know what you
sorry,
mean.
Okay. So he calls him an Indian, the other F word.
Why are you trying to sell me on race all those episodes? I told you that guy sucked.
Well, he's like an old white guy. I don't know.
I feel like he's not. I feel like he's like a motorcycle riding kind of guy. Is he dead?
No, I don't think so.
The Warrior?
Oh, Warrior's dead.
He's dead?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
We didn't talk about this? It's like one of the craziest stories ever?
Possibly.
He hadn't been on. He had a big falling out. And he was gone for like 20 years from 96 to 14.
How are you falling out?
They had a big fight over money and he walked out and they just never talked and he went kind of crazy. And they finally bring him back and put him in the Hall of Fame and they're on good terms. They're planning all the stuff. He goes into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania 30. Or 31. I forget which one. He goes in the Hall of Fame. It's his big return. Gives us a great speech. He's back. The next night on Raw, he comes out, runs to the ring, talks to the fans, and gives us real cryptic promo. Really cryptic. The next day, drops dead.
Cryptic in the sense that it was incoherent, or just...
Like, this is like almost like the end. Like, he was talking like that was it. And he had a heart attack the next day. And died. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Like, if he had came back, like, a week later, he would have died before he got back. You know what I'm saying? Like, if WrestleMania was a week later.
Maybe he was taking drugs that he knew would give him a heart attack.
Well, I think it was decades of steroids that he knew eventually was wearing him down, but...
All right, so, Warrior Rude. How do these guys rank in terms of their body and their skill level?
So, they actually had the Ultimate Pose Down back at the Royal Rumble.
Ultimate Pose Down?
I think you would have watched that, too. Don't we watch
that's
that wrong?
Awesome.
Rude has a great body. And it's not, like, overly bulky. He's, like, real kind of cut. His abs are ridiculous. Arms are ridiculous. Legit, like, I think one of the strongest guys ever. Warrior is, like, a bulked up maniac.
Well, he's a bit more cut than, say, like, Hogan.
Right. Warrior, he's one of those guys I think is more appreciated later. Like... During the time period, everyone was super into, like, oh, I'm going to be a good wrestler and work on the mat. Like, Warrior doesn't have that. But if you're into, like, appreciating this guy that was this manic ball of energy.
He did a lot of rope stuff.
He does a lot of stuff. And he always delivered in the biggest matches. He has one of the best, like, big match records. His other shit is, like, spotty. But when it came down to, like, the big matches like this, he always delivered. And he's kind of the common denominator in a lot of it.
What do you think is his? What do you think of his finishing move?
The slam and the big splash is great.
Doesn't he just drop the guy from behind?
Yeah, he holds him up over his head and then just dead drops him and then does a splash.
Oh, the splash is after.
Yeah.
Okay.
So was this? I mean, this is my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Two classic wrestling dudes.
Were you okay with the way it ended with Piper?
Yeah.
You're into the ass.
Yeah, I mean, Rude's got the Heenan.
Right. So why can't Piper show his ass?
I was like, oh, well, the bad guy gets a manager. The good guy doesn't get a manager. It's not fair.
He doesn't need one.
He doesn't need one.
All right.
Hey, has the analytics crept into wrestling?
A little bit.
Have they started to, like, how often the heel wins?
Yeah, like it's that. So spotty because there's so many shows to track. There's, yeah, it's...
You know, nerds are taking over sports. I wonder if it's...
No, nerds have lived wrestling.
I mean, not the wrestling kind of nerds, like the math nerds.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's funny. It's like our buddy Chris Harrington and Brandon Howard of WrestleNomics.
Can you bet on wrestling?
You can.
Yeah?
In, like, offshore books and, like, websites and stuff.
Well, Twin River has sports betting. Does that count?
They do not have wrestling.
No?
No. I know.
A lot of inside info, I imagine.
The Cowboy sends me a lot of his new betting slips from Twin River. Proud of one tonight.
I gotta hang out with the Cowboy more often.
Six-man action, Demolition and Jim Duggan against the Twin Towers and Andre. One of the best heel teams
ever. Isn't this perfect? Duggan with Demolition.
Yeah.
They put the guy with the 2x4 with the S&M guys.
You had to like the American flag paint, though. That was cool, right? But what
did he have? Did he have the gimp mask?
I think he did, on the
weigh-in.
Yeah. What did you think though of Andre and the Twin Towers together? That's a pretty awesome team.
Yeah, that's a lot of man. A lot of manliness.
I love when Smash slams Boss Man and then Akeem and then back Andre just like smashes him.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Yeah.
Smash. You always think of Axe as a star. I don't know if it's because of his look or not, but
is that what you think? You always think that?
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Is the first one? This is a guy with the slick back hair.
Yeah.
If I had to pick two guys out of a lineup
who
were Demolition, I would know what Axe looked like with no face paint. I don't know what Smash looks like. It's always Axe as the guy, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm not wrong?
They named the body spray after him.
There's no E.
I know. It was a joke. All right, anything else in that one?
No.
Okay. Greg Valentine and Hercules.
When did Hercules become a face?
When DiBiase bought him as a slave. We kind of missed some of that. It was a... So, they did the storyline.
How did I miss? How did you not show me DiBiase buying Hercules?
Bobby Heenan sold him as a slave. And they literally call him a slave. And Jesse, like, eats it up. He compares it to Roots. He calls Hercules Kunta Kinte.
Oh my god. How does Virgil feel about this?
He stood there and collected that fuck money.
Is Virgil literally a slave?
It's kind of the undertones.
Jeez.
It's a rough storyline. So anyway, Hercules refused to be the slave, and he's a man on his own. What'd you think of Ronnie Garvin's ring announcing?
I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah? You were into it?
Yeah. He's like, the worst wrestler of all time.
He's got two left feet.
If I saw him on the street, I would kick him. I don't know. I just kept going on. It's great.
And then at the end, he keeps announcing Hercules as the winner, even though he lost. And then Valentine just punches him in the face.
I mean, after the Danny Davis stuff, I'm surprised there hasn't been more referee interference kind of plays. Because it's such an easy thing to do.
Well, I like when he... So, when he shit...
Like, how about Hulk Hogan referees a match between, like, Savage and...
Oh, we get a lot of guest referees coming. Like, that's coming.
That'd be cool.
I love when Garvin is fucking at the end, like, fucking around with him at the end and keeps Hercules, and Valentine just comes in and, like, punches him in the head.
Yeah, he dropped him pretty good. Oh, shit.
It's like the Hercules music is playing. Valentine just comes in and punches him in the face.
I think that you and I, if we do like an official Jeff Lynn's wrestling photo, we should like do our hair jet yellow. Like,
yeah, I think so. Just go blonde.
It's just so popular.
Like Guy Fieri.
They all look good.
Yeah.
I think we'd look good.
Is Guy Fieri looking?
He has more like tips.
He does have tips.
We
said we were going to do a picture because we're cuddled in on the couch here.
This is a current live picture.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it, how we're cuddled in on the couch. But Here we are.
Very, very intimate.
We got
that
the Yankee
live
Red Sox thing going on, too.
If you're looking at this picture, you're listening to it being taken at this moment.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in. Anyway. All right. The murderer, Jimmy Snuka, versus... versus Ted DiBiase.
When you say you almost... Like, she died? The girl died?
Yes, he killed her. Very likely. I guess it was never officially proven.
Because you said it in the way like he basically beat his girlfriend to death. Like, did he beat her and then she came back to life? Or she,
No.
She's dead.
She's died.
Okay, so that's terrible. Who did he fight again?
DiBiase.
This guy, too. I thought I was done with him.
No, he's been around for a while. You don't like DiBiase?
We've been over this. The guy thinks he's cool because he has fake $100 bills.
You think that's fake?
Well, they're probably real, I guess. But he's not keeping them, I'll tell you that much.
All right.
They're marked.
And then Jimmy Snuka hits a splash on Virgil after the match.
Yeah, so Snuka loses. And then just all this post-loss.
Sore loser.
Sore loser stuff.
All right, main event. Hogan and Beefcake, Savage and Zeus.
So, Zeus finally
Scary
goes
Sherry.
Down. Zeus! Zeus!
Did you like Hogan's promo where he compares Elizabeth's tits to headlights on a motorcycle?
How did I miss that?
It's a great. He's like, I had Brutus Beefcake on the back. I had Miss Elizabeth on the handlebars. And someone, you know, they were like, look at that set of headlights or something like that. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was the show he says that.
Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, that's pretty great.
All right, so... I love this. I like this match too.
She would be hot now. Women are aging very, very well. Mm. Like, there's a lot of former actresses who are like super hot into their 60s. It's just really depressing. That
Diane Lane.
And I still haven't heard the story. I can't wait to hear the story.
Of
you've been saving the Savage Miss Elizabeth story for me.
Of how it ends.
Of how they all. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
And I purposely not looked it up.
Yeah. No. It's really good. Yeah. You're gonna love it. I like at the end when Hogan slams Zeus and Shivani like has like an aneurysm. He picked him up.
He picked him up. He weighs half as much as Iron the Giant. Was this the first time, or was it another time that he got up from the flying elbow?
WrestleMania, he did. They've kind of made it look cheap.
Yeah, they cheapened it.
Yeah, I guess you.
He
could,
got up right away too.
I guess you could say it's Hogan, so whatever. But
he didn't even kick out of it. He just did it, and then Hogan jumped up as to say it woke him up.
Did you like with the purse at the end?
Yeah. The magical purse. Oh, he's got the... What was in there?
A brick.
A brick.
They show it after. Yeah, it was a brick.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
And then they cut Sherry's
braid. So Hogan hits Zeus with the brick purse, then throws the purse away.
Yep.
How do you feel about the faces cheating? Because they cheat almost as much as the heels.
It's fire with fire, though. They never do it first. They always answer the fire with the fire. But Hogan's a...
It's okay as long as you...
Hogan's
are.
A notorious cheater.
Yeah, there's been a couple of things that he's... He just got a win for the Hulkamaniacs.
He's no, notorious.
Training, praying, and vitamins.
And cheats.
And they're all equally important.
All three.
Yeah.
Demandments. And then did you like the end where they cut Sherry's ponytail?
Oh, yeah. I liked the Elizabeth flipping her over the...
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was a good move.
Yeah, Liz kind of gets a little revenge on Savage.
And the slap. The ooh, she really whacked her.
Yeah, you're a Liz guy.
Love Liz.
Anything else on that match or the show as a whole?
All right, so SummerSlam. What's next? Is the year basically over?
No, we got Survivor Series. We're going to do a Saturday's main event. Again, we're going to do Survivor Series. And then we're going to be at the Rumble into WrestleMania 6, which was the first show I was really a fan during. And it's one of my favorite shows of all time. And I can't wait for you to watch the main event of WrestleMania 6. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to guess what you think it may be.
And I haven't seen it yet.
No. Everything we're done with what you've seen now.
I love the build-up. You're like, it's my favorite thing ever. I can't wait to hate it.
No, you're going to like it.
I can't wait to hate it and be cuddled up on this couch and just make you cry.
No, you're going to like the main event. If you're looking at it right now, as of today... With what you've seen and how the guys are being presented, any guesses on what the biggest match of the year will be at WrestleMania?
I would say, looking at these storylines...
And if do you want me to tell you if you're right or wrong? Or do you just want to save it?
No, you can save it. Looking at all these storylines and the guys who are fizzling and the guys who are rising, I would say it's probably something like Hogan Warrior.
Okay. We'll see.
Although, they're both kind of good guys, so that doesn't seem right. Savage Warrior? Can't be Savage Hogan. That's all done.
We'll see. All right. So... this is a good time. Do you like this format, the way you did it? You kind of watched a few shows, we worked through them, and then we're good?
Yeah, yeah. Just tell me what to watch, and then we'll figure out the format, like, right, when we record.
As we go. All right, and if you have any other thoughts out there, let us know if you like the way we went about this.
We respond to passion. The more passionate your response, the more likely it is that we'll
and that's all we got to hear. And then if you need a plan B, we'll come up with one.
Plan B. Nice comeback.
All right. Facebook.com/ Jeff Learns Wrestling, I believe. You can just search us there. Be sure to leave any comments or feedback, like our page. Bigelow34.proboards.com. You can join in the message board conversation there as well. Follow us on all social media and on our feeds on iTunes, Place to Be Nation Wrestling and Place to Be Nation Pop. All right, Jeffrey. It was a lot of fun. We'll be back in 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when the weather gets warm again.
We'll do our one warm weather show and our one cold weather show.
We'll do our outside show.
All right, bye. Work on them.